feet. You got to give to people. And I think one of the best things you can give to people is the gift of attention. Just pay attention to them. So many people, you know, they've just been beat down and had that unworthiness and that inferiority complex built into them within the church, that what they really need is to see is that they are something special. And give them the attention to look at God loves you. God loves you. You're especially you. He loves you more than you love yourself. There's nothing is ever going to separate you from the love of God. God's made you a joint heir with Christ. Jesus Christ is your brother. He's your father. Your father's going to take care of you. And with God as your father, you never lack anything. And God just gives you access to Him each and every day, that you can go to Him anytime, any place, with anything, and He's there for you. You can take off and go as far away as you want, and when you come back, He'll be there for you again. He's always there because the love of God is relentless. And people are one of a kind. And above all, you want to know something? Their lives are important to them. So when you get abusive with them or flippant with their lives, to me, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Because they're so important to God, who are we to get flippant with their lives or get loose with their lives or start to put them into condemnation when God paid everything to redeem them? We don't have the right to do that. But what we do have the obligation to do is to get people to know who they are in Christ. So that takes one of the big, big angles away from the adversary. They never, ever want to lose their right standing before God in Christ and know who they are. They're a son of God, and God has endued them with power. He's given them abilities, and they're God-given abilities. And God will energize that stuff within them so they can live abundantly. It just gets better and better as you go along. Go to Romans chapter 5. I won't say that this is my favorite verse, because I say that about all of them. But this one really is. It's a great one. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know, you have peace with God. That's the fruit of your justification, is peace with God. So if you have peace with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, anybody that wants to go in there and upset that peace is not doing the good works that were mentioned in Ephesians 2:10. Remember, God has ordained you unto good works, that you should walk in them? Well, one of those good works is not undoing the redemption that God has provided for you in Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. They'll do it in the name of Jesus Christ while they're doing it. That's like being robbed by your brother. You know? Something I love. See, it's in the name of God that people wreak all this havoc. And in the name of Jesus Christ that they wreak all this havoc. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that they take away your right standing in Christ. That's how tricky it gets. That's why that book is called The Subtle Power of Spiritual Abuse. Because people want to please God. They want to love God. And then they get taken advantage of. And so they succumb to these doctrines of men and traditions and things that always will leave them less than what God has called them to be. We have been justified. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Know the truth about who you are with Christ. You've got peace with God. There's no more enmity. The separation has been put out of the way. There's no more aggravation. There's no more strife. You have peace with God. Oh, why let anybody steal your peace? Live peacefully every day with God. It says we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. You know, we have the peace of reconciliation, and we're to hold it and enjoy it each and every day. And we're to stand firmly and safely in the grace of God, to which God has called us to. And He's placed us in it. So if He's placed us in it, we're out of it. We had to leave. We had to walk out. Go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Some more things, when you look at them, you see who you are in Christ and what God's done for you. And once we know who we are in Christ, then it's a great day. It's a great day to have a whole lot of fun. It's a great day to be spiritually dangerous to the adversary. because you get aggressive in your thinking. You start to move on things. You start to get ideas. You know, then you know, when you know who you are in Christ and you're moving and moving and moving, then a great idea is not an interruption in your day. It's inspiration. You know, some people aren't doing anything, so God, if God was to give me the inspiration, it'd be a major interruption. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to work. There's a flow here, you know. There's a flow. You go, God goes. And He just keeps pumping everything that we need. And why? So that we can be our best for Him. So God can introduce His solutions into the senses realm and people can live abundantly. In verse 17 it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To it, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And verse 17 says, you're a new creation. All things are new in quality in your life. All things are new. We don't have to live with the old man anymore. We don't have to put up with that stuff anymore. Verse 18 says that we've been reconciled to God and given the ministry of reconciliation. That's the truth about who you are in Jesus, in Christ. You have the ministry of reconciliation. You can bring people into harmony with God. You can get them into sync with God, whether they've never heard the message before or whether it's a believer who may be having a problem. You can bring them back into harmony and speak the words that are fitly spoken and do the works. Those are good works that God has called us to. That's something which He's prepared and made available to every believer. You have to know that. In verse 19 it says, we have the word of reconciliation. The ministry wouldn't be any good without the word of reconciliation. God will even give you the words to say. Because anytime we move out of the love of God in our heart, God will be there to energize His gift within us. And we'll have the words to say and we'll do the things we need to do. And we'll see the results that God wants us to have. Verse 20 says that we're ambassadors for Christ. We're Christ's ambassadors. And you want to know what? God makes His appeal through us. God makes His appeal through us because we are Christ's personal representatives now. And on Christ's behalf, what we do is we offer reconciliation to people. We do it on Christ's behalf because it's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's God in Christ in you, and then you and I have to go about and put forth that message that there doesn't have to be any more enmity between you and God. It doesn't have to be any strife. You and God are on the best of terms. He's given you access. He's given you His seed within you. He'll take the responsibilities of a father. He'll take care of you. He'll sustain you. He'll do everything that He's supposed to do. If we'll do one thing, let's just walk out on what He's told us He's made us in Christ. And if we know the truth about that, then we go. And our lives ought to reflect the character of the Christ within us. And you know, fear is the worst thing because that holds you back. It just robs you of life. It'll rob you of life. You haven't got time to be fearful. People always want to play it safe. And it doesn't work. When you play it safe, you get burned. You get burned all over the place. In the military, in bayonet fighting, they have a thing that they call the gunfighter's edge. And it's commitment. It's not courage, it's commitment. Because when you get in a bayonet fight, the one that is the most committed is the one that's going to win, because if your commitment doesn't equal mine, you'll hesitate. And when you do, that's too bad. That's a big mistake. But the guy that wants to play it safe drags all the strength out of life and out of that commitment, and he loses. And sometimes we lose at very, very dangerous games that we shouldn't be losing at, and that commitment is what will put us over the edge. That love of God is what will put us over the top. And knowing who we are in Christ will get you over the top too. So there's a lot of ways to get over the top. God's fully enabled us. And then, you know, another question I have is, one day I'm going to die. I'd hate to, at that point, figure out that I had never lived. that never really lived. Or they get on your tombstone and say, not quite used up. Something like that, you know. As opposed to somebody else who really lived the Word each and every day. Used up. He's gone. He's not taking any abilities with him, you know. He's not taking it. I'd take it. You can't take it with you, right? So you might as well expend all the love of God that you got here and get honest and ask yourself, where's my heart at? You know, what are the things that I really love in life? What do I really love? The Bengals? For some people, that is it, man. That's an obsession. These guys, man, oh, man, Bengals, jackets, hats, underwear. Every Sunday, man, it's just a whole thing. And it's a painful thing if you're a Bengals fan. At least if you had a good team, it'd be different. But year after year after year. Gosh. And they finally put the Browns out of their misery. Ship them off to Baltimore. So we got to get honest and look and see if there's anything holding us back. Get rid of it, whether it's fear or emotions or stuff or money or whatever it is. Get it out of your life. You don't need it. Get it out of your life. Look at your life. Know who you are in Christ. And then put all your resources and make that the purpose of your life. To live the truth, to know the truth of who you are in Christ. And live that way on purpose. And not just be like a pinball machine just bouncing all over the place. I like to close in Ephesians chapter 2. This Ephesians chapter 2 to me is one of the most beautiful sections in the Word. I won't say it's my favorite. But my wife will say, you say all of them are your favorite. Verse 4 it says, but God who is what? Rich in mercy. Isn't that nice? For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together in Christ. And this is the truth. This is the truth. You've been made alive in Christ when you were dead in sin. In other words, when you didn't do a thing to deserve it, God gave it to you anyway. But by grace are you saved. Are we saved? And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is what? It's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So let's go out this week and walk in those good works that God has called us to. Let's go out this week and know who we are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. Live who you are in Christ. Think about it. Think about it every day. I'm going to live today on a level of who I am in Christ. I'm going to live today the way the Word says I should live. I'm going to live today the way the person that the Word says I am. And I'm not going to put up with any of this inferior stuff, because it ain't over till I win. And if God is the one who's calling the shots, and it's God who's called me, then I'll always have enough resources to win. And it's always God who causes us to triumph in Christ. So knowing who you are in Christ is essential if you want to live victoriously and you want to live a life that's more than abundant. Let's go out this week and do it.